please open your Bibles or one of the pew Bibles to the 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. This is the best news you will ever hear. And this is the most exciting part of the whole Bible because it includes so much that God has done for us, and it calls upon us to respond by faithful obedience. The 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And I read from these words as printed in the Word of God. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Indeed, he is going before you to Galilee. There will you see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And I hope this is the attitude that all of you have, that we come to hold Jesus by the feet and worship him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. That is, they bribed them, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And we add our amen to the reading of God's word. And again, we ask you to bow your heads in a moment of prayer. Please pray for me, because I'm not smart enough to figure all of this out. And I'll pray for you, not for the same reason, of course, but pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us all through this exciting, most exciting news the Bible has ever announced. So let's pray before him. Father in heaven, we have read this account as we have read it many times before, but we see the fullness of and experience the power of it, and pray that our eyes may be open to behold the full glory of this great passage of the Word of God. And may our hearts be excited, may our minds be captured by the truth of the gospel, and may our lives express that. So meet with us, Lord, and open your word to our hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. During the 40 days following Jesus' resurrection and before he went back to heaven, he met with his disciples on several occasions, to remind them of all that he had taught them during his earthly ministry that lasted 3 years. And in this 40 days, he summed up everything he had taught them. And not only but he added some glorious truths to this. And it was during this time he also made one great truth explicit and had been preparing them for this moment for years, 3 years. And that one truth is that the gospel must be, will be preached to all the nations of the world, and that the kingdom would no longer be limited to just a remnant of Jewish people who lived in that tiny country we call Judea, or even for those who spread throughout the Roman Empire. This gospel is going to be for the whole world. And it's true that in one of his last sermons before his death, the Lord Jesus did say the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world. Now he makes it a command. You see, before it was a prophecy that the gospel is going to be preached throughout the world, and all the nations will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he lays it in your hands, in my hands, saying, and it's up to you to proclaim this wonderful gospel. In all the four gospels and in the book of Acts, we discover that this missionary mandate occupies the most prominent place. It was repeated over and over again. John reports that when the disciples first saw Jesus, he said to them, "Shalom, peace. But as the Father has sent me, so send I you." And then all through this 40 days, you find the Lord Jesus repeating this command over and over again. And he does that so that you will never forget that the purpose of the church is missions. The purpose of the church is to glorify God by going into all of the world and preach the gospel to all the nations of the world. And we trust that the God who promised us the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfilled that promise will also honor his word. And if you're faithful, even in your prayers occasionally, and I would hope that it would be all of the time, praying for the gospel to be presented to the nations of the world. But don't pray that prayer unless you're willing to go. It is said of most Christian people, they're willing to go but planning to stay. Why don't you turn that upside down and plan to go and be willing to stay if God so directed you? Luke tells us that the Lord appeared to his disciples in the upper room the evening of the resurrection and opened their minds to understand the scripture concerning himself. The Lord Jesus showed them from the Old Testament. And that's what he did. He went to beginning with Genesis and went quickly through the whole Old Testament with this one thing in mind, that the gospel must be preached throughout the world. And it's amazing, really, when you realize that the Lord Jesus took the Old Testament, turned it inside out, and said, here is what God's intention was from the very beginning. And it started in the Garden of Eden, when God came to the rescue of Adam and Eve, and when he promised the destruction of Satan and his kingdom. And from that point on, God began to gather people and to bring them into a knowledge of himself. And one of the prophets said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And Jesus took that passage of scripture and many others like it and proved that God's plan was for him to go to the cross and to be resurrected, and that the gospel would be preached throughout the whole world. It must be, because that's God's will. And he said in these words, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all the nations. And he took this text from the Old Testament to prove that God's intention was always that all the nations of the world would discover his grace and goodness. And in John's account, the Lord simply came to his disciples and said, "Peace be unto you. Shalom." And then he said, immediately following that, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." Notice this was the first thing that Jesus said as he greeted his disciples after he proved that he was alive. And it was as if to say, since I have been risen from the dead, you go into all of the world with the gospel, the saving gospel. And now we come to the Great Commission that we read from Matthew 28 this morning. Is there a contradiction here? Matthew reports this as occurring just before the Lord ascended to heaven, while Luke and John both tell us that Jesus essentially said the same thing the day of his resurrection. Is there some kind of a contradiction? No. There is an amplification. There is a repetition that us dull-minded people would finally realize this has been God's intention, and God revealed that throughout the whole scripture, and especially after the resurrection. It was the first thing he said after the resurrection, so send I you, and it was the last thing he said before he ascended to heaven. Go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we'll be looking at that baptismal formula next Sunday morning. It's so important, and it's so great in its scope. But then he told them that as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. We begin to get the idea that this was at the top of the list of priorities of Jesus Christ. And if you're walking with him, it must become your highest priority to participate in whatever way you possibly can, including going to the uttermost parts of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Unfortunately, for most believers, it's the last thing that comes to mind. But here we have the setting and the foundation for the Great Commission. As the time drew near for Jesus to return to the Father and go back to the throne of glory in heaven, he gathered his disciples to a mountain in Galilee and gave his final command. Notice the tender kindness of the Lord Jesus in bringing his disciples to a mountain for the last appearance. Because it was on the mountain that he first ordained them as apostles. It was on a mountain that he preached his most famous sermon, and we call it the Sermon on the Mount. It was on a mountain that he allowed Peter and James and John to behold his glory while he talked with Moses and Elijah. What about? About his approaching death and the explanation of that. What wonderful memories, the time that they spent with the Lord on the mountains. And we call every experience with him a mountaintop experience, whether it's grace at a meal or whether it's pleading over for the life of one of our loved ones who is dying, or whether it's any emergency that comes up in life, that we know that the Lord hears our prayers. And that's mountaintop stuff. That is wonderful stuff. And even when our eyes are filled with tears and our hearts are heavy, it's a mountaintop experience to talk with the Lord Jesus and know that he takes your prayer and translates it into what it should say before the Father. And we're told that even this 40 days later that they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were still doubting. How stubborn is unbelief? Thomas could not be numbered among the doubters any longer because he had said to Jesus, "You're my Lord and my God." And maybe some were thinking, who were doubting, it's just too good to be true. But it's also obvious that when Jesus spoke, they put whatever doubts they had behind them because he said these words, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." He had previously made that claim before he went to the cross. But events seemed to make it an impossible dream. If all power has been given unto you and you won't even let us fight for you, how can we believe this? In the intervening time, he was rejected by the authorities. He was forsaken by all of his disciples. And he was condemned, crucified, dead, and buried. But now, however, he's raised from the dead. Who could deny him saying, "Now, all authority and power has been given unto me"? Because he was standing right there with them. He had risen from the dead. He showed them his hand so they would know it was really him. He showed them his side so that they would understand that he had died at the Father's will. Now he is alive again. And many, many prophets and great men had gone before him in death. Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. But none of them had risen from the dead. Here he is alive, gloriously transformed, but he will never again receive the rejection that he experienced on the cross, because he is now the exalted Christ who has overcome death. Do you hear me? He has overcome death for you. And his plan for you is to raise you from the dead. And so the exalted Christ, the Lord from heaven, is claiming all authority and power has been given unto me. And so during his earthly ministry, he exercised that power. He raised people from the dead. He healed the leper. He gave hearing to the deaf, seeing to the blind. But now, he would not call upon 12 legions of angels. And he told the disciples that I could ask the Father, and he would send 12 armies from heaven to defeat these feeble soldiers of Rome, who were but one legion. But now, his authority and power will be unrestricted. And the authority will include the raising of the dead. And you think, well, so Christ is going to be raised from the dead. And before him, all of us will appear one day. And we will give our feeble excuses why we didn't put him first in life and why we chose to put other things first. And we will have to deal with that. It's a claim of all authority has been given to me to open the doors of heaven or to open the gates of hell. And all authority. And so we examine this great commission a little bit more. Here is what Jesus said. Therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. The words "go into all the world" is broad and deep. The church is not to emphasize so much just come and be saved as it is to emphasize and now go and serve Christ. Of course, you must come to Christ and abide with him and in him before you can go into all of the world with the gospel. And most Christian people, all of us, are more content to come to Christ, claim forgiveness of our sins, and we're very weak in maybe going out to say to people that the gospel is for you as well. The church is so often confused about its mission in the world, but our confusion is not derived from anything Jesus said. It's from selfish motivation. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world. And now that gospel that we take into all of the world is more than just geography. It's to go into all levels of culture. to all levels of society, no matter how bitter the opposition, and bear witness to the fact. And the Apostle Paul put it this way, therefore, at the end of his life, I testify to you that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not failed to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Just preaching the gospel without making disciples is really not preaching the gospel. And certainly, perhaps this accounts for the evaluation of the church in this country being a mile wide and an inch deep. I was served over in the First Presbyterian Church of Macon, Georgia, for about 6 years. We had scads of college students who were coming every Sunday and enthusiastically going on mission trips. But I want to just remind you that telling the story of the gospel and leading out discipleship can lead to a lot of confusion. Ken was one of these young men from the First Presbyterian Church, and he was invited to go on a mission trip to one of the great countries of Asia, and he raised his money and he went there, and he came back and he gave his report, and I'll never forget the exuberance that Ken shared with the congregation. He said, you can just walk down the streets of some of those great cities in Asia, and people will be receiving Christ and praying with you the sinner's prayer just on the street corner. But then he added something that kind of sobered him up a little bit. He said, this young Indian guy over in one of the large cities of India came up to me. He said this, came up to me and said, will you tell me how to become a Christian? And he said, yeah, that's what I'm here for. And so he said, now, he repeated this simple story of the gospel, and he said, now, for you to become a Christian, you must bow your head and pray after me these words. And he prayed the sinner's prayer, and the young man said to him, thank you so much. Now, I'm sure to go to heaven, because I'm a Christian, and I'm a Hindu, and I'm a Buddhist, and I'm a Muslim. And his understanding was that all you have to do is simply say words, and then you're bound to go to heaven, especially if you make sure that you're a member of all four of these religions. But our Lord Jesus Christ did not spend 3 years of intensive teaching his disciples just for their enlightenment and enjoyment, but to equip them to fulfill the Great Commission by teaching all things that I have commanded you. How are we doing? Well, that the Great Commission includes avid and prayerful evangelism is obvious when he included baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But that's not all that is involved in preaching the gospel. Christ died for our sins. Yes, he did indeed. But also, God created the heavens and the earth. There is a young farmer up in western Pennsylvania who was touched by the story of the New Tribes mission over in Papua New Guinea. And he went over there. But he had witnessed so much of this sort of shallow evangelism. And so he started with the book of Genesis. And for 2 years, he taught classes in the nature of God and the purpose of God for the world. And at the end of that time, he began to show them how this great God had sent his son into the world. And the chief of that tribe jumped to his feet and said, Itau, it is good. And he had the foundation of knowing who God is and knowing God's purpose and plan. And then when he heard God sent his son into the world to take away our sin, he just burst forth with a great anthem of praise. And the young man had wisely spent 2 years preparing people to hear the gospel rather than meeting them with the saving gospel without any understanding on their part. And then he makes this incredible promise. What an undertaking. And this command was given to a small handful of people who will deny its the marching orders for the church today just as it was then. How is it possible, when it seems so impossible, to penetrate all levels of society and culture in all nations of the world with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ? Here's how it's possible. Lo, I am with you always. And when you confront unbelief, and when you're criticized for believing that Christ is the only way to heaven, and when you are opposed by people who really don't understand that Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so there is one answer, that God has ordained it, God has planned it, and you are in the center of God's will when you commit yourself. Whatever it might be, the Lord may call some of you to go. He may call you to go next door. I want to tell you a little story that I was involved in Jackson, Mississippi. And it still convicts my heart. Because we had a church in a transition neighborhood. And we decided it was our responsibility to witness to all of the people in that neighborhood, no matter who they were. And we heard a story that motivated us powerfully. That a group of kids, college kids, from northern Michigan had come down to Jackson, Mississippi. And before they left with their supervisors, they had completely rebuilt an old black woman's house for her. They put electricity in. They put a roof over the head. They put her stove and a refrigerator in. They put windows. And then they found out that her only income was that she babysat at one of the Presbyterian churches in town. And they had overlooked this woman's need for many years. It took a group of kids coming down from northern Michigan to get the message across that the gospel is for everyone. And the gospel includes not only telling the story of the cross, but telling the story of God and showing the love of Jesus Christ. And I think that was the break point for our congregation there, that we began to associate with black congregations. We even had joint services with them, and God released great power into that church. Let me rephrase the Great Commission. Jesus said, in effect, consider this, that I myself will be with you day after day, moment by moment. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Great will be your reward in heaven, even if you lay down your life for the gospel's sake. That's summing up what the Great Commission is all about. That's the mandate, Presbyterians. That's the promise of our Lord, the great head of the church. And if we are to justify our existence, if we are to expect God's continued blessing on our efforts to worship Him and to serve Him, then we must be faithful and believe that all authority is His. And that authority sends us out into the world, whether it's across the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean, or whether it's across the swamp and across the street from where you live. So here is the Great Commission, the great command of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that now has to be decided is, what are you going to do about it, if anything?